waiting years for you for a subject, because I am one of those people you're describing with the tendencies.
Really? I'm
currently seeing a therapist for it. I pay off to a private therapist, so I don't go to the NHS. But I have attraction to young girls. So I know it's horrible. I hate to say it, but in my view, these sex dolls don't do anything but enable.
Really? It's not going to be an alternative. It's going to be a kind of catalyst.
So to explain a little bit better, so obviously I'll look and I'll think and then I'll stop myself because I have a very strong set of morals.
Yes.
So I'm very, very nervous.
I understand you are. And for the record, I think it's brave of you to call me. I really do.
Thank you. But I keep myself level because of my morals, and I stop myself fantasizing, etc. But if I had something to act them out on, you might lose control, because obviously I'm very in control of my desires. But if I have a doll to act out on, what's stopping me from losing control, so to speak?
And I don't know, and neither do I know whether your experience would hold true right across the spectrum. But you mentioned this notion of control, which I think is absolutely crucial to this conversation, because everybody has appetites. Some people can keep a lid on them, and some people don't try to keep a lid on them, and some people try and fail. You're clearly at the moment squarely in the first category. Can I ask when you realised, when you first...
I was about 14.
But then you were sexually attracted to girls of your own age or considerably younger?
Considerably younger, pre-pubescent.
And how did that, I mean, how do you process that information?
You don't. You sort of, I mean, you can't tell my parents.
No.
You can tell anyone. And you sort of lock it away, but obviously it's ruined my life because I hate myself.
Oh.
And I don't understand. I've read lots of reports about paedophiles who are sort of out and out and comfortable with it. I don't understand how you could live this way and not want to kill yourself every day. Especially if you've got morals. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mate, every syllable. Absolutely, I understand what you're saying. I'm reeling a little bit, frankly, from the honesty that you're describing, because normally all of these conversations are conducted in the shadows and you never know whether... I mean, you are straight up telling me that you have fantasies about young girls, prepubescent young girls, and you've dedicated your life since the age of 14 to not acting on them. I have to ask whether you ever have.
No, I haven't, no. And I've never looked at indecent images or anything like that, because I know I'd want to, but then I know that my morals tell me that a child's still been harmed in doing that. And I'm only aiding it, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. Who have you spoken to apart from the therapist?
So I have a couple of friends who know, who are very open-minded, and they support me through. I have very down spells, and I'm very suicidal with it anyway, but they keep me grounded mentally. My therapist, she's a, can I just say, there's a wonderful organization for anyone that's listening who is like me, called Stop SO. It's an organization that works with therapists who are willing to work with people like me, because that's the biggest fear that I've had for so long, is if I go to a therapist, the mandatory reporting laws is they can report me, even though I've done nothing wrong. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think so.
So it's a big fear, because I don't know who that therapist is, and I've got to take a big leap of trust and hope they report me because they think I might be a danger, even though I might not be.
How does therapy work in this area?
So my therapist at the moment, the goal we're trying to reach is, because she's more worried that I'm a danger to myself.
Yes.
Just because of my situation, my self-hatred. So her...
Do you like anything about yourself?
Not much.
Well...
Not much at all, really.
You should probably derive a little pride from the fact that you've never acted on these. So most men listening to this have failed to control their urges, even if they're not as sick and criminal as your urges are. Most men have failed to control their urges at some point in their life, whereas you've managed to keep a lid on yours throughout.
Yeah. Sorry, she tells me that something I'm too proud of, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Because people tell me I'm a good person, you know, I'm very much in control. But when it happens, and it's like when you see a good looking man or woman in the street,
yes,
and they're good looking. When that happens for me, it's horrifying, because while it feeds my desires, I'm at the same time I'm like, you're disgusting, you're a monster.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a continuous cycle of that. And say her.
So what? Yeah, go on. What's the goal again, John?
So her goal at the moment is for me to not hit myself so much, but not be too lax, so I'm not. Out of control, if that makes sense.
So the self-loathing is a break upon your behaviour, and she's worried. I mean, you're worried that if you dilute the self-loathing, which would of course reduce the suicidal tendencies, then you might also dilute the self-control. So what you've got, if I've understood you correctly, you are in a position where you can't separate your self-loathing from your self-control.
Yes, because it keeps it. Because I actually tried antidepressants for a while because I was trying to, you know, if they made me feel happier, I would go away. What happened was, they worked. I was feeling happy, more positive. But because I hadn't learned or delved into the psyche of understanding why I'm this way, I noticed that as I got happier, I wasn't checking myself as much when I had those thoughts.
Oh, God.
So it sounds horrible, but the miserable state keeps me in control.
Yeah, I mean, it's very plausible.
My mental well-being.
Of course it's not, because it is the fact that you hate what is happening in your own mind that stops you from acting on it, but hating what's happening in your own mind makes you hate yourself. What?
Sorry, I just want to say also, I was never abused as a child, so, because obviously I know a lot of people that do harm children were abused as children, so I haven't even, this is apparently just, my therapist is adamant, this is just part of who I am, it's a fault in my brain, so to speak.
Is that how they explain it? It is, because I mean, the criminality is to do with consent. You can't help who you fancy, nobody can. Well, what you are cursed with is being attracted to people that are incapable of ever consenting to anything that you might want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does hope look like in your world, John?
Hope, it doesn't exist for me. I don't hope for anything. But I for many years, and I'm still adamant of this, my future is suicide, because I will kill myself if I ever thought I was losing control. I've tried it already, where I thought I was losing control. And my therapist basically wants me to get past that so I can actually have a future, because I don't see a future for myself. I mean, how would I ever have a relationship? And how do I tell a woman this is who I am, really? And if I ever had kids, how am I not going to know how... Is it not worth the risk? I might fancy my own children. Sorry, it's a horrible downer on the start of the hour, but...
John, it's one of the most important phone calls I've ever taken. It's one of the most important conversations I've ever had in my life. I find your courage quite breathtaking. And yet I feel, because of the world you inhabit and the feelings you describe, I feel I have to qualify at every corner my absolute disgust at what your fantasies involves. But I you sound even more disgusted than I am, and that's what I think everybody listening will be most amazed by, is this simultaneous impulse and disgust.
Yeah, and as you said, they're not wrong for feeling that.
No,
because it is inherently a wrong thing to have happen, and I would full-heartedly support them for feeling that way, because it's such an abhorrent crime.
Which you have never committed.
Yes, of course, but it's still the feeling, it's still the emotion, it's still the...
No, I understand, and you must feel filthy all the time. I can't even begin to imagine what it's like. And I hope, I don't know if this is a naive hope, but presumably most men who have feelings like yours manage not to act on them in the same way that most husbands who might occasionally be attracted to someone who's not their wife don't make a pass at every woman they encounter. But for you, because of the criminality and the consent issue, it's... I can't imagine. I don't know how you get out of bed in the mornings, John.
Neither do I sometimes. Honestly, it's. I mean, those are together. If you look at suicide rates in paedophiles, they're astronomically high, because I think people just give up and they end it before they lose control. But it's never known, because people, you don't know the actual true numbers, because
who's going to put that in their suicide note necessarily? Or whatever, exactly. You know, the message may be. Do you ever have the opportunity to talk to other people in the same position?
There's an online forum called Virtuous Pedophile. It's one where people like me can go and support each other to make sure we don't do anything.
Okay.
I'm personally a little bit on off about it, because there's a couple of the moderators have expressed if it was legal, they would do it.
Right.
Again, it's something I still would never do, because I know the damage it would do to a child. So I'm a little bit, but it's somewhat good for just a support network anyway, but I never get too involved.
I can't think of a lonelier path than yours, actually, just sort of in terms of, well, I mean, the fact that you even managed to find the organisations that can offer you some sort of help is progress of sorts, but you must be one of the loneliest men on the planet.
I'm a very good liar in life because I have to be to cover it up. I lie about things to draw attention away from anything from that. I might even give them an inkling that's who I am.
Of course. Of course, so you'll be the front of the queue, presumably in company, saying we should, you know, castrate them all, string them up from the nearest lamppost.
Yeah, because I don't want people to think that I have a smallest iota of sympathy.
Of course.
The only reason I've managed to tell a couple of my friends is because they've seen that documentary, The Paedophile Next Door.
But say that again. You've told a couple of your friends because...
They mentioned that they've seen this documentary called The Paedophile Next Door, which discusses about a man like me.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, they're a bit more open-minded, maybe I can actually tell them. Because more than anything, I just wanted them to validate me as a human.
I get that. Of course I get that.
You know?
And how did they react?
My first friend that told me, she was silent for about 10 minutes, didn't say a word, and then she said, I'm so sorry, I can't imagine anything worse.
Never seen it from this angle, John. Never seen it from this angle before. Nobody listening has, or next to nobody listening.
It's tough. I mean, I'm not trying to say, you know, it should be right or allowed. I just, if there was such a stigma for trying to get help.
Yeah, well, that you heard me say, this was the conversation I've never had the courage to try to have, and you've taken the opportunity to ring in and talk about it anyway.
Yeah,
because don't, please, no. I mean, it's astonishingly illuminating just to listen to you. But that's the thing, isn't it? Is that if we want to stop people like you from doing things that you want to do on one level but desperately don't want to do on another level, how does keeping everything locked up and in the darkness possibly help anybody? It can't. And yet, I mean, just for you to come forward to a friend, let alone to a journalist or a therapist, I'd say it again, you must be the loneliest man alive.
Wireless charging ever, 5G, and longer battery life, all for $300 less. Starting at $899, the OnePlus 8 Pro is also gorgeous without being a fingerprint magnet. So what's not to like? Not that much, which is good news for anyone shopping for a top-notch Android phone.